men today are trying to get to heaven by works, and we're going to look at that a little bit this morning. And they're trying to get there by wealth. But understand this, there's only one way to heaven, and that's through the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's look here in Revelation, 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. The Bible says this, let's begin reading in verse number 18. I'm sorry. The Bible says this, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, God, for the precious Word of God. Father, I pray that you would take us and use us this morning. God, I pray you'd drain me of pride, Lord, and of self, and Lord, every, Lord, thought and intent that I have. And God, I pray that, God, that you would give me the unction, Father, to preach this morning. I pray that my speaking, Lord, in my preaching would not be of enticing words of man's wisdom, but God, in the demonstration of Spirit and of power. Lord, use us, Father, today, Lord, to magnify, Lord, and glorify you. And God, Lord, to help us to see the importance, God, of the blood of Jesus, Lord. It's not of good that I have done. It's nothing but the blood of Jesus today. Lord, it's not my works of righteousness, Lord, but nothing but the blood of Jesus. Lord, the blood of Jesus is all that we have to claim as sinners, Lord. God, Lord, we thank you today for your love and your mercy and your grace in our lives. In Jesus' name I humbly pray. Amen. A lady by the name of Dolores Williams said, "I don't think we need a theory of atonement at all. I don't think we need folks hanging on crosses and blood dripping and weird stuff." A Cornell professor wrote to young Billy Graham in the early 1970s in the beginning of his ministry and told him not to preach on the blood of Jesus if he wanted to be effective and to preach to multitudes. Now understand this today, let's just read verse number 20. Let me go ahead and read this. Let me read this today. The Bible says there in verse number 20, "Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." Understand this, if you're taking notes, we see the planned purchase. The planned purchase. Understand, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was not plan B. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was always God's plan A. The Bible said there in verse number 20, "Who was foreordained before the foundation of the world." Before God ever spoke this world into existence. Before the waters ever there, but the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters and the dry land appeared. Understand this, there was a salvation plan that was put in place. And it included the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And always remember this, and no matter what the world may say, no matter what other religions may say, salvation is by and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And it was not plan B, it was always plan A. God, Adam and Eve didn't sin in the garden, and God didn't wring His hands and say, "Well, I just don't know what I'm going to do." Adam and God knew that man was going to sin in the garden, and God had already had a plan in place to take care of man's sin. So understand, this is why Jesus is the only way to heaven today. There is no other way. Thomas asked, he said, "Lord, how can we know the way?" He said, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." If you are trusting in anything else than the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to get you to heaven, understand this morning, You're trusting in a false hope. As we sum the sum this morning, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. It's only by and through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that you'll get to enter into that wonderful place called heaven and spend an eternity with God and shun that awful place called hell. Understand, the plan that God had was through the blood. All throughout the Old Testament, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and God there slew that animal and sacrificed that animal and gave them coats of skin, understand, this was just a picture of what was to come. Even when Abraham took Isaac up on the Mount of Moriah there that day to sacrifice him there unto God, when God called him and said, take thy son, thine only son Isaac, upon a place which I will tell thee, and there he said, sacrifice him unto me. Understand, it was just a shadow and a picture of what was to come. The law there that God had given Moses and all the sacrifices there that God had put there into that law was only pictures and types of what was to come. Understand, there is no other way to heaven other than through the blood of the Lord, the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is the only way. And understand, it's not plan B. It's always been plan A. The law was our schoolmaster. The Bible says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. Understand, the law was written. We studied through that in the book of Romans on Wednesday night. And if you're not coming on Wednesday night, come and we're going verse by verse through the book of Romans. It may take us 10 years, but we're getting there. Amen. But we've learned that the law was our schoolmaster in there in Galatians. But the Bible also teaches without the law there is no knowledge of sin. That's what we studied in Romans chapter number 6. There's not a speed limit sign posted. We know that it's a given, but that speed limit is 55 unless otherwise posted. That's the law. But when it says 35, guess what? That means that law changes from 55 to 35. Alright? And when you're doing 36, guess what? You're breaking the law. Huh? The law brings the knowledge of sin. It was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, to show us the failure of man and show us the error of our ways and to show us the insufficiency that we have in ourselves and that we needed a Redeemer. That's what the law was for. But not only that, the law was a shadow of good things to come. And I've done mention that. The law was a shadow of good things to come. All those sacrifices. On that Day of Atonement when they brought that lamb there to the high priest and there he took and he cut the jugular vein there of that young lamb and he caught that blood there in a basin and he went into the holiest of holies there before God and there he sprinkled that blood upon the mercy seat and the Bible says in the Shekinah glory of God there began to dance upon the mercy seat because God was satisfied with the blood sacrifice that the high priest was having to offer to understand what that high priest was doing. Can never take away sins according to the book of Hebrews, but thank God this man, I'm the man Christ Jesus, when he entered into the heaven, which was a figure of the things on earth, was a figure of the true in heaven, and when he entered in and he placed his blood upon the mercy seat, understand there was a way that was made unto man, and that man and God might be joined back together, and that man might have a hope not only in this life, but in the life to come. And it's by and through the blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And let's notice here this morning, look in verse number 18. We see in verse 20 the plan purchase. But let's look at the persons that's enslaved. The persons that's enslaved. Peter's trying to get us to understand something. He said, for as much as you know. For as much as ye know. What do you know this morning? Or what have you forgotten? Understand, Peter was writing here to a group of people who was very familiar with slavery. Now we have in this politically correct society today, and I'm not getting into all that, but they think they know about slavery. They don't know about slavery. In the Roman time, it was estimated at the time of this writing, or during this time, that Rome had 60 million slaves. 60 million. That's a lot of slaves. So when Peter was writing there to these Jews and those Christians, they understood what slavery was. They understood what redemption was. The only way a slave could be freed from under his master was that he could, if there would be, could be sufficient funds collected to purchase his freedom. Or his master could sell him to someone else who could pay for his freedom. Either this slave that had no rights and no privileges and only worked for one master, and he didn't work for pay, that's why he was a slave. If he could come up with enough money, then he could buy his own freedom. Or someone else could come along and that slave master could sell that slave to someone else and he could go in freedom if that man that he sold him to wanted, allowed him to go free. So as Peter was writing here to these people in that day and them being associating and understanding and have the knowledge of slavery, that there was probably, they knew someone, and even their selves may have been a slave. They understood that as Paul was writing here, or Peter was writing here about redemption, they understood what it meant to be a slave. Now my question to you this morning, maybe we have forgotten that about our enslavement. Maybe this morning as Peter was writing there to them, he said, "For as much as you know." May I remind you this morning that when you and I were born, that we were born into a life of sin. And we were, the Bible said in John 8:44, Jesus said that ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer and a liar from the beginning. Understand this, you don't have to teach children to be wrong, you have to teach children to be right. You and I were born into a slavery of sin. There was no way to get out from it. And understand, as the older we got, the more a slave we became of those carnal desires in our life. I mean, I used to think that I was, as I got older, that I would reach a point in my life that I wouldn't be tempted by as much sin. But it seems to me that the older I get, the more temptations that I find. But understand this morning, there's no way that you're ever going to free yourself from that temptation. Understand where that we were under that slave master of sin. Moses wrote there to the children of Israel, and God wanted to remind them that they was a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God had brought them out. Beloved, we need to be reminded of the fact that you and I was once in sin. And beloved, we need to be reminded of the fact that you and I was once enslaved to our sin. And beloved, that what God has done to bring us out from that slavery. I'm not a slave anymore. I used to be. Understand this morning, that slave can't change his position. He can have great intentions. But if he's owned by someone else, he's told where to sleep. He's told what to eat. He probably, as a slave, he probably lays on his bed at night and wonders about freedom. I wonder what it's like to be free. You remember those days when you wondered what it's like to be saved? Remember those days where you found yourself caught up in sin, and man, sin was a pleasure there for a season, but then when you got alone and on your bed that night, and there you got alone and you began to lay down and you began to think, man, if I could just get out of this life.
Right. Amen.
If I could just change my circumstances. If I was a way out. You know what it was? You're a slave to your sin. You may get up every morning and say, "Well, I'm not going to do that again." But that slave master of sin says,
"Get away.
Go do it. You say, I don't want to do that. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. What do? You find yourself right back where you was doing that same thing. He says, remember, he says, for as much as you know, he says, have you forgotten where you were? Have you forgotten the bondage that you was in? Have you forgotten that enslavement? To be honest with you, the precious blood of Jesus would be a whole lot more precious to us. We'd remember our enslavement. The Lord would take us back to our misery. The other day, Caleb and I was there on the farm, and he was doing some work on the machine. We were standing there, walked down there in the woods where he was working. I said, son, somewhere right in here is where I got saved. And as I went home that night, I got to thinking about the bondage that I was under. You see, I'd made a false profession at 13, 14 years old, maybe 15, I don't know. But I was under bondage. Because I wanted more than what I had. But I couldn't get out of it. Miss Alice is back there shaking her head. And she testified this morning before Sunday school. She said, I just want to thank the Lord for saving me as a church member that I got saved. I'll be honest with you, it was bad to be lost. Before you joined it, before you thought you got saved. But it's miserable to try to live it. When I was lost, I didn't try to live it. But then, man, once when I thought, man, I just made a false profession. I didn't place my trust in Jesus. I placed my trust in me and what I'd done. And man, I'll tell you what, that's about as worse of bondage as you can be in. You're miserable. But I remember, man, just as it was yesterday, I looked up into the heavens and it was a clear day. And I remember looking up through the tree, the leaves of the trees and seeing the blue sky, and I said, God, I can't live like this no more. And I said, Lord, I trust You. And I trust the blood of Jesus to cleanse me from my sin. And all I don't know what happened on the inside, but I know in that very moment, I'm telling you, man, something changed inside of me. I was born into the family of God. I was created a new creature in Christ Jesus. I was adopted into the family of God. I was sealed into the day of redemption. Man, so many things happened to me, and that's why it felt so good. Because I'm going to tell you something, when something as big as God moves into something as finite as you, you're going to know it. You say, well, I just don't remember when I got saved. I can't tell you the day. I can't tell you the time. But I can remember when I got saved. The tree that I got saved at is not even there no more, Miss Fanny. I couldn't take Caleb to the exact same spot, but I could get within 10 or 15 feet of it. You'll know when you put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, or Peter says, for as much as you know, do you remember what kind of slave you was? Do you remember that? There's a people that's enslaved. Maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you're here this morning. And you're enslaved by your sin. And I have committed an unpardonable sin. My granddaddy would whoop me. He'd come back from the grave. My granddaddy told me at 7 years old, he said, son, if you're going to be a man, there's two things you always have. He says, you have a handkerchief to blow your nose and to help the lady out. And he says, you always carry a knife. I ain't never forgot that. And I do. If I carry a handkerchief and a knife. Thank God somebody put one in the pulpit up there. So probably my wife, I guess. I mean, where was I at? He's talking about being a slave. You remember what it's like? Oh, you're here this morning. You say, man, I sure would like a better life. I sure would like a life of peace. I'd like to have a time that I wasn't under that awful master of sin. He's mean to me. He beats me up. He's rough. He has no compassion. He has no concern. He tells me that it's going to be fine and that it's going to be okay. I'm just a follower, but when I do, I get hurt. And I hurt others. There's no peace in my heart. There's no peace in my life. You'll say, well, I'll just think myself happy. Tomorrow, I'll start reading my Bible and I'll pray. Tomorrow's going to be a better day. And you wake up to the same master that you went to bed with the night before. He said, for as much as you know, there's a people that's enslaved. Notice this, and this is what caught me. There's a people that's enslaved. And understand this, notice what he said here, for as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. Pricey metals won't work. Pricey metals won't work. Gold is basically the monetary system of the world, used to be. The gold standard's gone now, and about 1938, 1940, somewhere after, it was after World War II, they done away with the gold standard. Yeah, they stole it. So they could have it. It's still the standard, it just ain't the standard for all people. It's the standard for the rich and the monetary system of the world. But notice as he said there, he said, for as much you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things. In my studies, I went back and I tried to study and I know what the Bible says. Understand, Genesis chapter 2, it talks about the river Havilah, that it would be flowing and there would be gold in that area. And then the Bible talks about in Genesis chapter number 12 about Abraham was rich with cattle and gold. But the first historical gold that has been found that man has placed their hand on dates back to into about 4,000 B.C. But now we know gold's always been around. But the first coins and the first ornaments of gold dates back to 4,000 B.C. Do you know that 24 karat gold, which is the purest gold that you can find today, is not corruptible? It's not corruptible. It will not corrode. Gold may tarnish, but it will not corrode. Gold can only be dissolved by two compounds, but understand this, it's not destroyed, it just dissolves it into another state. But Paul was writing here on the authorship of the Holy Ghost of God, and he looked and he said, for as much as you know that you're not redeemed with the corruptible things as silver and gold. Gold's high malleability and ductility and resistant corrosion, and its reason is used in electrical connection and all types of computers. Gold is resistant to most acid. Although it does dissolve, it is not destroyed in a mixture of nitric acid and hydrochloric acid. Gold is unaffected by most acids. Gold is unaffected by most bases. The only way gold could truly be destroyed is through nuclear reaction. However, there does exist a way to dissolve it. Pure gold will not tarnish due to the fact that pure gold cannot connect with oxygen. And tarnish comes in when molecules of sulfur in the gold or the silver or the brass or whatever connects with that oxygen and it causes it to tarnish. And pure gold cannot tarnish because it cannot connect with the oxygen because it has no impurities. But here the Holy Ghost says that gold is a corruptible thing. And he says, I want you to understand, he said, that you're not redeemed even though you were a slave. You're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. You're not redeemed with those coins. You're not redeemed with those with that high monetary value, that most sought after thing. He said, this is what gold does. He says, silver and gold brings about a vain conversation. He says, for much you know that you're not redeemed with corrupt things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. As I was studying that, I was reminded of this as Peter and John over there went into the gate. And there was a man laying at arms, making beg for money. And Peter looked at him and he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Take up thy bed and walk. I recall another place over there that Simon the sorcerer, he went to Peter. And they remember Peter, God give Peter and them the gifts of healing. And Simon went to him, he said, I have gold here. I want to buy it that I might have the gift of the Holy Ghost. There's religions today, and there's understand, I'm not talking about true religion, but there's religions today that's based upon a gold standard. As I've told you the story before, when we was in Mexico, there that day, maybe it was Panama, I don't remember which, I believe it was Mexico. And there that lady there that was crawling down the streets, we passed her as we was going, there into town maybe a quarter of a mile from the temple, and she was crawling on her hands and knees. And we got there and we toured the city and we watched and we come back around and we come back around to the Catholic Church there in the town and she was crawling up the steps there of the Catholic Church. Crawling. And then she got there to the door and she crawled up to the door and she would peep around the corner. But she'd never cross the threshold. And I asked the missionary and I said, what's she doing? He said, she don't have no money. So she can't go in. He says, so she sacrificed herself by crawling on her hands and knees to get to the church to show because she has no money to give. And because she has no money to give, she can't go in. We're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold. As received from the vain conversation from the distant rich father. There's televangelists today that preach about silver and gold. You sow your seed of a dollar and it's going to turn into 10,000. There are, quote, pastors today that have millions upon millions upon millions of dollars in their bank because they've robbed people. Because they're getting people to believe that salvation comes by silver and gold. Now the Bible says that it's incorrupt, that it's corruptible. And you say, well, what are you saying? Remember this, Jesus said there in Matthew, He said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal. He said, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt nor thieves break through and steal. Gold is the highest standard of our monetary system. Okay? It's what our world system's money is based upon. Now, we know that according to science that it cannot be corrupted without a nuclear happening. But the Holy Ghost said that it can. What was He saying? It's not pure. It may have value. Listen to me. It may have value, but it's not pure. What is it in our life that we hold that has value to our relationship with the Lord, but it's not pure? I can remember as a lost person, well, I'll just keep going to church. I'll live right. I'll put money in the offering plate. I won't cuss. I listen to the right music. I do the right things. Surely my works, my gold, the best that I have to offer, surely it'll change my position. But you know what? I woke up every morning and I'm still a slave. I'm still a slave. He said, receive from the vain of your vain conversations received by tradition. Now what he was referring to there, and I'm about to close here in just a moment. What he was referring to there was this. He says, you've received by the traditions of your fathers. He was talking about the Pharisees. Remember, they had like 713 oral commandments. They had all of these things there that they had placed upon value that was higher than the Word of God. They had all of these things that if you didn't meet this, that you could bring gold there and silver there into the temple and it be absolved. Remember gold there, the Nebuchadnezzar, the statue that he made, what was it of? It was made of pure gold. And what the Lord Jesus Christ was saying, or what Peter was saying here was this, he says you need to understand pricey metals will not get you saved. The most expensive things on this earth, the most sought after things on this earth, the best that you can offer on this earth will not redeem you from your sins. It's still corruptible. He says, you need to know that for as much as you know. Understand this. For a person to be saved, number one, they're going to have to realize they're a sinner. Amen. And that they need a Savior. And that they've been found a slave. And number two, they're going to have to realize that nothing they can do can change their situation. No matter how much money they have, no matter how popular they are, no matter what they're going to do, what they decide to do, what they decide to offer to the Lord, none of it. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing and regeneration and union of the Holy Ghost. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Then, not only that, do we have the precious metal, but we have the personal preferences. Well, Grandma done this. Grandma said that. Grandma, she told me about Jesus. Mama, she was a good lady. She loved the Lord. Mama, she sang all the time. I'm not taking away from anybody's mama in here. I'm talking about your traditions. There's some traditional things that we hold on to, and traditions is not wrong. There's nothing wrong with some traditions. But when we put more stock in our traditions than we are, when I'm talking about traditions, I'm talking about our family heritage. When we put more stock and more faith in our family heritage and our traditions, right, that's not what's redeemed us. Amen. Amen. He says, you've not been redeemed by the vain conversation received by traditions. Things have been passed down from year after year after year after year after year after year. I mean, I've witnessed the people and I've invited people to church and I've asked them if they're saved. Well, no, but you know, my grandma, she sure loved the Lord and she should have took me to church. My grandpa, he was a preacher. My papa, he was a good man. He always prayed. We didn't cuss around papa. Received by traditions. It's not the traditions. It's not what's been passed down from you through your family. He said, that's not what's keeping you. That's not what's giving you freedom. He said, it's not your money. He said, it's not your word. He said, it's not your family. He said, it's not those things that have gotten you out of this bondage. It's not your personal preferences. Your traditions. That's all a tradition is a personal preference. A tradition is something that is practiced because somebody likes it. That's all a tradition is. Now, we have some traditions in our church. We have a traditional service quote. Okay? What's the traditions of our service? What's tradition? We sing, take up the offering, we preach. That's a tradition, right? We have Sunday school, 10:45, 10 to 11, somewhere right there. We break, let you go. We start service at 11 o'clock. If I said that we're going to start service next Sunday at 9 o'clock, some would say, okay. Some would complain about getting up that early. And some would say, oh, we ain't never done it like that. That's breaking tradition. That's a tradition. Okay? That's all it is. But understand this, our traditions don't save us.
Amen.
Our traditions don't get us out of bondage. Our traditions, and that's what He's telling them. He says, you have traditions that have been passed down unto you, but understand this, if you're not careful, you'll put more faith and more stock in your traditions. And He says, understand, plan A always has been Jesus.
Amen.
Tradition will cause you to worship in vain. Tradition will cause you to leave the same way you come in. And I don't have time to finish, but I can't leave you hanging. But He says this, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Understand this, and I don't have time to finish it, but there's a purchase that's been made. And there's a price that's been paid. You couldn't get yourself out of sin, and I couldn't get myself out of sin. And if you're here this morning, and you're living under that slavery of sin, understand this. You can wish it, you can want it, you can work it all you want to, but it will not get you out.
Amen.
From under that bondage. But there's one who has purchased your redemption.
Amen.
He's paid the price for you.
Thank God.
And all He's asking you to do is say, come and follow me. I want you! But Lord, I'm not one that... I don't know why you'd want me.
Amen.
Lord, you don't know what I've done! Yeah, I do. That's why I put this plan in place. Well, I just go home and I'll read my Bible. And I'll live right... And Lord, I promise I'll start paying my tithes. That's not plan A, that's plan B.
Right.
I was always dealing with plan A. He's already paid your price.
Amen.
Understand that this morning. You don't have to pay the price. You don't have to wander around and beg and say, God, would you take me? The price has not been paid. You don't have to commit to coming. Listen to me. You don't have to commit to coming to church. You don't have to commit to reading your Bible. You don't have to commit to paying tithes. You don't have to say, I'm going to do this. No. All you've got to do is say, Lord, I'm a slave to sin. And I need you to get me out. And if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised you from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And whom Christ has set free is free indeed. See, we put so many traditions on things. Not saved by reading our Bible.
Amen.
You get saved, you want to read your Bible.
Right.
You're not saved by coming to church. You get saved, you'll want to come to church. You're not saved by listening to the right music. You get saved, you'll start wanting to listen to the right music. You're not saved by not cussing. You get saved, the Spirit of God will take you to the woodshed and make you not want to cuss no more. Okay? It's not by traditions of things that you can do. It's by realizing that you're a sinner and that you need a Savior and you're bound in slavery. You have no rights, no recourse. The thief on the cross had nothing to offer.
Right.
I want Miss Evelyn to come to the piano. I want you to listen to me. The thief on the cross had nothing to offer. Nothing.
Amen.
Three or 15 verses before, he had just looked at the Lord and said, "If thou be the Son of God, save yourself and save us." He had just said that. He had railed on the Lord. But as he was hanging there on the cross there that day beside the Lord Jesus Christ, and he heard those sayings, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And he heard those saying, "I thirst." And he heard those saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The thief on the left was saying, was railing on him and saying, "Do something!" And the one on the right, hanging on a cross, turned to him and said, "Lord, remember me. Lord, just remember me." Understand, he couldn't commit to coming to church. He couldn't commit to paying no tithes. All he had to offer Jesus was a cross. He was dying. He said, "Lord, remember me." What did Jesus say? "Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise." God's not interested in what you have to offer Him. God's just interested in you wanting Him. We're standing all over the house.